Hello everybody, it's John, and this afternoon I'm talking to a friend of mine that I've known for some time through the Choral Society, but it's only just recently that I've understand that he's interested in birds. Now, I like birds, but Steve Cooper, who I'm talking to now, takes it to a whole new level. And he takes some wonderful pictures of these birds and then makes them into calendars. And I saw one of these calendars recently, and I was very impressed by it. So I wondered, Steve, could he tell us, you know, what started your interest in birds and your photography and so on? How did it develop?
Well, the interest in birds started because I had an uncle who just died last year. And he was particularly close to my mum. There was about a 16-year gap between them. So he used to call on us a lot at our house. And we'd go for walks, and he was my mentor, I suppose,
right,
in terms
yeah.
of beginning to have an interest in birds. And also, I think, taught me to appreciate bird song as well as observation, which I was probably at an impressionable enough age for that to stick.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you learn things in later life, it's very hard to make it stick.
To make it stick,
but
yeah.
when you're young,
yeah.
The interest, the enthusiasm, and it's sort of an emotional thing as well as in my head. I really enjoy being around birds. I'm not particularly what is commonly known as a twitcher.
No, right.
So if there was a rare bird spotted on Flamborough Head, I wouldn't be jumping in my car to dash over there. But I'm more interested in, I suppose, birds in the locality where we live. Because there's plenty goes on around us.
More than we think, I think, sometimes.
Exactly. And I think the interest in photography stemmed. Me and my partner have four children. And when they had left home, in common with lots of people, we suddenly found that money we'd never used to have,
yeah.
we suddenly had.
Right, yes, yeah.
And I'd not had a camera for a long time, so we discussed it, and I got a really good camera. With some advice from a woman who teaches photography, and then decided I would, having talked to a man locally, I thought, oh, I could have a go at making some, trying some photography. So I bought a telephoto lens.
Oh, I see, you must have a telephoto lens.
Yeah, and a tripod, because
yep.
it's my lens is not the most modern, but it was what I could afford second hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. It's a good one though, because it's up to 400mm, which is quite powerful. And
what do 400mm what?
The magnification, it goes the lens
we'll
itself
go
goes from I think 200 to 400.
Wow, that's powerful.
It is, and it's something that where you don't have to be too close, so you can catch birds that, where you're not disturbing them as much.
Right.
And so you don't have to be stuck in a hide for 3.5 days.
I was going to ask about that. Do you use a hide at all?
I haven't done. I've used hidden positions, but not a constructed hide.
Right. Because I was looking at the one of May this year, it was a black cap. And
yeah.
I thought, it's a very good picture. And I thought, that must have been very difficult to catch.
Took me a long while, that. Because I'm not very mobile, I have to, because of some difficulties with my legs,
yeah.
I have to get to positions where I think the birds might be around,
mm-hmm.
and then find myself a position where it might not disturb them.
Right.
So that actually, the photograph of the black cap I took up at what used to be called Redwater Arts up Pudsey Road.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and
yeah.
some friends of ours own that place now. So I went up there and said, can I just plonk myself in your field
yeah.
and just see what's what? So I did. And I heard this, in May they're nesting.
Right.
So if you hear them, the chances are they'll be back and forth. They won't be passing.
Right. So you'd heard them first.
I'd heard them first. Right. And then so I stood there for many an hour.
yeah.
Until it developed its own little habits. So I thought I knew where it was going to land to sing the male singing the song
yeah.
before it went off to find food or whatever else.
I see.
Because it sort of reinforces their territory if they sing out.
Yeah, that's how they mark the territory,
yeah.
isn't it? Yeah.
And they continue to do it even though they're nesting.
Yeah.
So that's where I got that one from. And that was, yeah, it's technically I'm not the best photographer, but the photograph turned out all right.
Yeah. Do you use it? Is it a digital camera?
It's digital, and I use the computer to
Right.
And to actually, I wouldn't say enhance, you can increase the magnification of the actual image.
Yes.
And if you've got it on a tripod, it means it's usually steady enough to make it a reasonably good image.
Right, I see. Yeah,
Actually, a friend of mine told me that the key to it is getting, if you look at some of the photographs, you get a little bit of light in the eye of the bird that you're taking. And that usually means that it's in good focus.
I see.
It doesn't always have to be the case, but often it does. It's an indicator.
So there must be a certain amount of, well, I mean, with a digital camera, it must be a godsend that you can delete an awful lot of stuff instead of having yards and yards of tape.
Film tape, yeah, you're right, it is. And sometimes it's, one of the drawbacks for me is it's very difficult to choose which photograph. Like for this year's calendar, I've taken photographs of a dipper. Which I knew where it, I knew where I thought it would be, up in Ebden Water, coming down through the crags.
Yeah.
And I got dropped off in the middle of January, because the other thing about the dipper is they give themselves away in January, February with their song. They don't sing all year, and don't, but they're one of the few that sing early in the year. Sure enough, there it was. And so then I were able to take lots of pictures, and then it's knowing which to use.
Yeah,
and in fact, it's a bit of a... bit of an anorak, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, no, I don't.
Because actually, whatever I put on, there are about six pretty good photographs that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm being a bit pedantic for my own purpose, I suppose. But that's okay.
The one you like best, which is fine. So there's a certain amount of field craft in all this, isn't there? You go around prior to taking the pictures, think, this is the place to be.
Or this is where my uncle was so good. Because... in almost without knowing it, I were picking up stuff where I would expect to find dippers, or I'd expect to find blackcap and willow warbler, and where I'd expect to find different sorts of waders.
Yeah.
And like the other day, Esther and I went to Blacktoft Sands in that's in the Humber on the Humber estuary, just west of Goole.
Yeah.
And one of the main reasons I wanted to go was to see the, it's called the Spotted Redshank.
Spotted Redshank?
Yeah.
All right.
And sure enough, there it was.
So how did you sort of know that?
I've been before.
Right.
About 7 years ago. And we'd been on holiday over that way. And I'd visited. And it wasn't there actually at that time, because it's more a passing, or it comes off the moors where it nests. There in the winter time.
Right.
So you've got to wait till autumn, really.
Yes.
But it was in the bird reserves. They have some pictures and a list of what birds they expect to see there, and that was among them.
I see. Yeah.
So and there it was.
Yeah. So do you sort of build up a list? Do you think, I haven't seen this one yet?
Sort of happened in that I tried but failed to get a photograph of a willow warbler this year, because I've had photographs of them but not good enough for a calendar. And I listened just up Woodhouse Road, going off Halifax Road. There's a little, what used to be a tip, and it's covered in trees now.
Ah, yes it is.
Yeah. And there are absolutely loads of willow warblers there, but my goodness, they're elusive. They've got a wonderful song.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they're taking the mickey, because they're singing away and they must know I'm there, I think. But they don't let on where they actually are.
No, I see.
So I didn't manage that this time, but another time I will.
Yeah.
I suppose that's what I do. I go to places where I think there might be particular species, and then what I've also tried to do, up to now, I've not included a repeat. So I think I've done five of these calendars.
Right. Yeah.
So they've all been. They're all different birds.
Gosh, that's quite a selection. It's
up to 50, 60, I suppose.
50, 60 birds. Yeah. Right.
Not all from the locality. I mean, some of them are easy to get. If I were on the Farne Islands, up in Northumberland.
Right.
And it's just like it's just like, they're just so close to you when you're walking around the island. Yeah. So
is that where you got your guillemot?
The guillemot. And for this year's. But
yeah.
I got all sorts there on a different calendar. There was Fulmer, Kittiwake, Shag, Black Gull. Just loads.
Mm. Yes, it's a paradise.
It is, it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's been shut this year.
Yes, because
of the avian flu, yeah.
Oh, avian flu.
Yeah.
Oh, it must have
been. It was just because of COVID, but then...
Mm. And then avian flu followed.
It's decimated some of the island birds this year as avian flu.
I was showing pictures of the Bass Rock on the news, and it was horrendous.
All right, with the gannets.
Gannets, yeah. Decimated that population.
Yeah, it is such a shame.
Yeah. So, all right, so you're interested in birds and, you know, for your own interests and so on. It's been a lifetime thing, but how did you get to the idea of making a calendar then? And is there an aim in these calendars? Are they for a particular purpose?
I don't really know. Oh, I just thought there were reasonably good photographs, and I thought, well, I'll send some to some of my relatives and friends. I'll get a few made. And then the response was quite positive. Yeah. So the next year I got some, and I work in a charity, so I thought, oh, I'll make some for the charity and raise some money for the charity. That didn't particularly work that well, but that's okay. But then the lists extended. So when I get this year's, I'll get between 100 and 120, I think, and pass them on accordingly.
Yeah, so this is by no means a paying hobby, is it? It doesn't, you know, you don't do it for that reason. To get
No. I don't, I'm quite happy to pay the money out, and because I don't buy a lot for other people or myself. But it's something that seems to be appreciated by a lot of people, so I'm quite happy to spend whatever it is. It is expensive.
Yes, of course it is, yeah.
But it's a good expense.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly looking, if I'm on the list, I'd certainly
look. Oh, you're on the list, whether you like it or not, John.
I'm going to get one of that. Oh, that's lovely. I shall certainly look forward to it, yeah.
Good?
Yeah, that's great. And this charity you mentioned, it's... Do you put them out where people could see them if anybody was interested?
I'd left some in the office in a box with a note saying the calendar for fundraising, and if you feel you want to make a donation, donate £5.
Yeah.
But I ended up with a load left. People.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is, but if that's. But then I think last year or the year before, the woman who runs the shop for the charity, she took quite a few and put them in the shop, and they sold.
Right.
So that made a bit of money.
So it'd be a question of people looking out for this in charity shops.
Well, only the one it's the Samaritans one in Elland. So I haven't put them around much.
No, I see.
Whether I will or not, I don't know.
Right.
I could entertain that idea, I suppose, this time.
You never know. Never know.
No.
Cast your bread on the water.
Yeah.
Well, that's been fascinating, Steve. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
As I say, I've always been interested in birds, but I've never taken it to this level at all. And like I was saying before, a lot of people don't really want to get the bird, but I think you're different. You're quite happy to get the bird.
Perfectly happy.
All the best in the future with
your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.